بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهلون. الذي بعدا فلا يرى وقربا فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللائنة الدائمة الباقي لأعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وعلى إبراهيم وعلى عمران على العالمين. صلوات. Alhamdulillah, with the blessings of the Azaw, Sayyid al-Shuhada. This is the sixth gathering that we are having, where we are seeking this opportunity to educate ourselves more about our values, values of the religion for which Imam Hussain alayhi salam sacrificed everything. It's an amanat which is in our hands. The amanat of the Shuhada of Karbala. And so we have to preserve it. We have to live by it. Not just learn it, but live by that amanat which Hussein and his family and companions have given to us. And this azah becomes a way of renewing our bayat and commitment to that religion in the name of Hussein ibn Ali and his awlad and his ashab. Salawat upon the Quran. Everything else, if you look at the traditions that we have, many times, you know, since we do not know how the traditions or the gatherings, the way they are done in the Shi'i community, how they have gradually evolved. You look at the calendar, we have the Viladat for Rasulullah, we have the Majlis for the Wafat of Rasul. We have the Viladat for Amir al-Mu'mineen, Majlis for the Shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. We have the Viladat, you know, a celebration for Bibi Fatima. We have the Majlis for the Wafat of the Bibi. Sometimes we think, because we look at the hierarchy of the Masumeen, the Prophet was first, then Ali, and then Fatima, and then the Imams, one after another. We think this is how we've been doing things from day one. You had to realize that the first majlis and gathering which happened was in the name of Imam Hussein. It was the Azaw Sayyid al-Shuhada which established the system. People used to gather to remember Karbala first, and as the barakat of that gathering, gradually they said, okay, let's have the majlis for the wafat of Rasulullah. Let us remember Shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Let us remember the day of wafat of Bibi Fatima. All other things that we do are actually barakat of the azah and the majlis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So appreciate this institution that we have, which has been given to us by our Imam. And, you know, that's where we learn quite a lot, because when we come to this majalis, we are on an emotional level, you know, prepared to accept the message which is being given. The theme that I have selected for these majalis has to do with the issue of family life in Islam, from the perspective of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. I have that commitment, and I'm staying with it, and I'm trying my best, you know, to be with the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, about these issues which actually, you know, the community at large faces. If we don't talk about it now, when will we talk about it? But we are combining. History is there, fadail are there, the seerah of Ahlul Bayt is there, because that is the whole purpose of the azah of Sayyid al-Shuhada. Salawat. Our discussion started with this concept of peace in life. Peace and tranquility based on three dimensions that Quran talks about: Zaman, Makan, and Makin. Time, space, and spouse. We talked about Makan, the family, the system of family life in Islam, with a preference for what I would call semi-attached family system. But the emphasis in there is for Silatul Rahim. We talked about different issues after that, all connected to that. Then we came to this issue of, you know, peace and tranquility through Makin, the spouse. The ayat of Quran from Surah Ar-Rum, ayat number 21, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, from his signs, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, that he created spouses for you from your own species. And why did he do that? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may gain sukoon and peace and tranquility through that relationship. And then he says, he doesn't just leave it just like that. He says, I have given you the initial ingredients to maintain that sukoon. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنُكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. The elements of love and the element of compassion is there. Muhabbat, Mawaddat, Rahmat, Sabr. We talked about the issue of Mawaddat and Rahmat as far as the husbands are concerned in the last two majalis, emphasizing the point that when we talk about the element of Rahmat, Rahmat cannot be separated from the virtue of Sabr and patience, forbearance, willingness to forgive. And I would like to continue that theme today, focusing more on the female side as far as the wives are concerned. Salawat. The examples I gave were from Surah Al-Tahrim. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started with the examples of the prophets. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, Prophet Lut alayhi salam, and our own prophet. As good husbands who had challenges with wives who were not that good. I will have to be polite here. We are talking about, you know, prophets' wives. After all, they were azwaj of the Anbiya. And the challenges they had were more difficult than what we see in our own personal life. But we see that they exercise the element of rahmah, patience and forbearance. In the case of our prophet, he maintained his, you know, element of being rahmatan lil alameen. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who comes down with a warning from his side on behalf of Rasulullah. Tonight we'll go to the other example from Surah Al-Tahrim. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a good wife, a mu'mina wife who had an evil husband. And so this is where we say, you know, Quran, when you, especially if you look at Surah Al-Tahrim, this is actually a surah of family life. It talks about the difficulties and challenges that people can have in their family life. And this is a very interesting story. We'll talk about it later on. But in all those, you will see that the element of rahmah comes in. Patience and forbearance in dealing with issues and not immediately thinking about the issue of talaq and divorce. That is there in Islam, but it is the last resort. Things have to be done before on the basis of mawadda and rahmah to prevent reaching to that final solution. Salawat. Tonight, just two things. As far as challenges in marriage is concerned. And that is actually to do with the issue of, you know, and you cannot have a life without challenges. Otherwise, it will be a very boring life. You just have to make sure you are able to manage it. That is the whole key to success and happiness in this life. If you have a life without difficulties and challenges, it will be really boring. And this is where we have to know that, okay, we came to this dunya for ibtila and imtihan. And imtihan doesn't just happen by faqr and poverty and illness. It also happens by the interaction that we have with one another. Parents are tested through their children. Children are tested through their parents. A brother is tested through the attitude of the other brother. A sister is being tested by the attitude of the other sister. You know, even these interactions that we have with one another, these are all, you know, elements, grounds of test and trial that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through. He wants to see how we react in that given situation. Are we fulfilling our duty or not? And so even in marriage life, you know, you will not be without challenges. But the issue is, are you able to manage it according to the Islamic way or not? Because as you know, we have this saying in Urdu, jahan bartan honge wahan awaz bhi hogi. When you put the pots together, whether in dishwasher or in the sink, you know, you're going to have noise there. So if you bring two people from two different families, two different backgrounds, different likes and dislikes, they cannot become automatically one, melt into one, no. They can get closer, but there will be tension sometimes. And this is where you have to learn how to deal with that, you know, moments of challenge and the tensions. The first issue that I would like to talk tonight is the issue of privacy. The issue of respecting, you know, the privacy of one another. In this dunya, among adults, there is no one closer to the other than a husband to the wife and wife to the husband. Even adult children and parents are not that close compared to the relationship between husband and wife. And they know about one another inside out. You know, one of the reasons why you see the success of the mission of Rasulullah, you know, you have to realize the first person who accepted his message was his own wife. She knew him inside out. He's not a person who is a public figure one way and private life something else. Nobody knew Rasulullah better than Khadija. And when she becomes the first one to accept the message, that actually is a certificate for the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so you have to give, you know, respect to that relationship between husband and wife. That they are so close to one another, unlike any two other people in this world. And Quran in Surah Baqarah, ayat number 183, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used such a beautiful, you know, expression for this relationship. Where he says, Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahunna. He says, the wives are libas for their husbands. And the husbands are libas for their wives. Look at the hikmat of Quran. You don't have to go to the school of psychology to understand these issues. Quran doesn't use any scientific terminology, psychological terminology. They're very simple words which convey the concept so easily that if you, whether you are a PhD or somebody who lives in the desert of Arabia, both will understand it fully and completely. This is the beauty. You know, we many times about issues we say, okay, let's go and see what modern psychology has to say about it. Oh, you have everything in the Quran and the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt. Go back to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a wife is a libas for the husband, and a husband is a libas for the wife. A very simple statement. What is the function of libas? Libas means garment or dress, the clothing. What is the function of the libas? Number one, it is used to protect ourselves from extreme weathers. So protection is the first function of libas. The second function of libas is it adorns us in the society. We don't just go out just like that. You know, we make ourselves more presentable to the society. And, you know, major part of it deals with how we dress. And so the second function of libas is adornment for us. It's a zenith. And the third is that it actually is a satir. It conceals the physical defects that we have in our body. That's the function of libas. One, protection from extreme weathers. Number two, it makes us presentable in the society, adornment. And number three, it conceals. It is satir for our inner defects in the body. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a wife is libas for the husband. And husband is libas for the wife. What does it mean? All these three elements for the purpose of libas is there. They are there to protect one another during the extreme situations of life. They, as a couple, become more respectable in the society. They adorn one another. Even their ibadat becomes, you know, multiple times more sawab than they were singles. And the third element, which is the most important one, that they conceal the weaknesses that they have. They know the weaknesses of one another, but they become like a satir against the rest of the world. They protect the honor and dignity of one another. Nobody is perfect. Nobody is masoom, other than those who have been made masoom by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as husband and wife, they are so close, they know. They know the positive elements, they know the good sides of the person, they know the negative sides of the weaknesses of the person, like no one else. But they are libas for one another. They might be open to one another, they know one another completely, but when it comes to the rest of the society, they become like libas. They conceal the weaknesses of one another. And this is where we have to realize this whole concept of not exposing the weakness of the wife to the others in the family or of the husband to others in the family. Salawat upon the Ekbar. We have to learn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a hadith from the Ma'asumeen where they say that تُخَلِّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Acquire the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We used the example of rahmat yesterday. And one of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is He is Sattarul Uyub. He conceals the defects of the people. You know, if you look at the dua Arafah of Imam Hussain alayhi salam that we recite on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, that Imam Hussain alayhi salam recited in Arafat, that's such a powerful dua if you go through the translation of it. The way we talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, you know so much about me. If you wanted to expose me, I would have no respect and dignity even in the eyes of my parents. But you have concealed. You know, but still you have concealed it. And that is the element of rububiyyat. He is Sattarul Uyub. He covers the uyub and the defects of the people. And when we talk about this concept of husband and wife as libas for one another, We have to become sattarul uyub for one another. Yes, when there are issues, they have to be discussed. We have to do amr bil ma'ruf and nahy al munkar to help one another to become better, you know, mu'mineen and better shias and better human beings. But this has not to be, you know, exposed to those who are outside, especially the in-laws. Do not put down the respect of your husband or wife in the eyes of the rest of the members of the family. Salawat upon Akbar. There is a concept in the ahadith of our Aimma where they say that be careful of the ni'mat, because every ni'mat has a negative element to it. When you get a ni'mat, use it in a positive way and avoid the negative part of it. The means of communications that we have, so fast, so easy, so cheap these days, these are ni'mat for us. But there's also bala attached to that ni'mat. You know, when we look at this issue, whether it's telephone, email, MSN, texting, and this and that, as soon as a problem starts, immediately the phone goes. And once the issue goes out of the control of that libas, the circle of libas, sometimes it cannot be resolved that easily. There was a time when we didn't have these means of communication. Maybe there was a problem between husband and wife, and the wife became very, you know, upset or angry or whatever happened. You know, she might take a few days to think about it, and maybe she might write a letter, put a stamp on it, and put it in the mailbox. Maybe after 2 or 3 weeks it will reach to the parents. By the time it reaches there, this problem is gone. Although the parents are left with the anxiety. But now the problem starts and the telephone call goes. Immediately. And this is where we are saying, you know, make it the issue of libas. Consider one another to be the libas for one another. And this is where I'm saying, not that, you know, you don't talk about it. If there is an issue, it has to be resolved. Sit down calmly, find a solution for it. And if it's not a matter of violence, can keep it confined to yourselves. And deal with it within that circle of that libas. Of course, if cannot be resolved and it creates more problem, then you need outsider's help. Or if it's a matter of violence, yes. Then others have to be involved. We cannot deny that. But the issue is that look at that perspective of marriage, the relationship between husband and wife is hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahunna. Salawat wa nikbara. The second issue, as far as the, you know, women are concerned, well, we talked about the husband's perspective last night or the night before, that they would like to control their own domain. They are the sarparast and the head of the family. And yes, you can be. You have your, you know, option of being a dictator or a benevolent leader. Sometimes a simple thank you can work wonders. Even the wife on the other side, she doesn't want to dominate the house, she wants to dominate the heart of the husband. And there is no problem in that. It's a very natural desire, and it's a good desire, it should be there. If there is not there, then there's a problem. But many times, you see, we see they go around trying to do that in a wrong way. When things don't work, one of the first you know, ideas that come to mind is, oh, somebody has done a nazar or a jadu. You know, black magic. And this is where we have to realize that interpersonal relationships, these are serious issues. If there is a problem, you have to look at the problem. If you don't look at the problem, you will not be able to get the solution. But unfortunately, you know, the first route is to blame outside forces. Somebody has done something. And immediately, you know, the call goes to a amil sahib or a muallim sahib. And mashallah, in our ethnic newspaper, there are so many commercials there. People who actually exploit the weaknesses of individuals. They made a business out of this. People look for amal, they look for ta'weez. And I know I'm making them angry here, but this is the reality. Although we have moved away from that part of the world to this part of the world, everything we do in a very modern style, in an educated manner, but when it comes to these issues, we are total desi. You know, back to the roots. And first thing, you know, oh, you're sitting there in Canada, you call somebody in India or Pakistan, explain your problem, and he says, yes, I know. I know the person who has done the jadu on you. Baba, they have ilm al-ghaib there? Just think about it. Because Allah has given them that power that they have ilm al-ghaib sitting there somewhere in India and Pakistan, they're able to tell you that somebody has done whom you don't know, you just doubt. And that this is what you have to do. This is actually running away from the problem. And if you run away from the problem, you will not be able to find the solution. And this is where we had realized, you know, when we talk about family issues, that's not the solution. You know, you have to look at is the issue of akhlaq. It is the attitude, the behavior, the interaction with one another, which would be the problem. Look at the circumstances, what happened. And try to look at the reality and then find a solution. Maybe these faults are on both sides. Both need to work on it. Or if it's one side, they have to accept it. And that is where the solution would be there. And that is where you will be able to regain the sukoon and peace and tranquility in life. Salawat wa Akbar. Akhlaq is the solution, not this ta'weez and, you know, all these things that we hear about. Especially, since we're talking about the wife here. Even the attitude, the body language, the tone of the speech, everything has an impact. The facial expression. And the husbands are able to pick that very quick. They get the message. And so even the facial expression of the wife, you know, is important. And they make sure that the message is coming out clear and a positive one. When it comes to the issue of, you know, amal and partnership in life, yes, it is not a duty on a wife to do anything inside the home. But one of the expression of their muhabbat is to be a partner in the difficulties and challenges of life, demands of life, which is actually working inside the home. And the most important thing is this, the tongue, the speech. Most of these problems, whether on domestic level, national level, international level, can be traced back to what they said and what we said. If you look at the, you know, behavior hadith where one of our imams, very beautiful, those, you know, these words can only come from the Ahlul Bayt. And the beauty of the language of Arabic, where they say, you know, look at this tongue. Jirmuhu saghir, jirmuhu kabir. It's the same word, jim, re, mim. One is with dhamma, pesh, and the other is with kasra. Jirmuhu saghir. The mass of this tongue is small. Wa jirmuhu kabir. But the crime or the sin of this is great. And this is where we have to realize, we have to be very careful what we are saying. You know, it's not the issue of what you are saying. It is how you are saying it which becomes a problem. You know, many times you sit in the car, well, many places now it's a law that you can't smoke even inside the car. But when there were no laws about smoking or non-smoking inside the car, many people would actually put a sign. You know, one way of saying is, no smoking. Another is, don't smoke. And the third sign would say, thank you for not smoking. All three signs are saying the same thing. But the last one says, thank you for not smoking. Is the same objective but achieved in a more polite manner. And this is where I think, you know, the sisters, as wives, have to think about it. Don't use that expression, no smoking. You know, even if you use that same language of thank you after the coffee, things can work. And this is where we have to be careful about it, because if you look at the ayat of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Taha, when Prophet Musa alayhi salam and Prophet Harun alayhi salam were assigned the task of going and confronting whom? Fir'aun. Not even an ordinary person. Look at the instruction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to Musa and Harun, and he says, idhaba, all both of you, go, idhaba ila Fir'aun innahu tagha. Both of you go to Fir'aun because he has rebelled. Rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of a rebellion was there? He was claiming to be a Rabb against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I am your great Lord, you have to worship me. With that kind of guna, on that level, he is known as somebody who has done tughyan. He has rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in that case of Fir'aun, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to Musa and Harun? فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. O Musa and Harun, when you go to Fir'aun, speak to him قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, in a polite and lenient manner. We are not even talking about, you know, a simple crime. We are talking about shirk here, or kufr. And even to Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Musa and Harun, say qawlan layyana, be polite and lenient in what you are saying to him, la'allahu yatazakkar aw yakhsha, maybe he will remember the reality and accept your message. Or he might fear the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent. And so a person like Fir'aun, even when you want to advise him, Allah is saying to Musa and Harun, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. What about our mu'mina mu'mina? They deserve more respect than Fir'aun. You know, if they've done something, you know, be polite with them in the way you talk to him. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, when it comes to this issue of zaban, this is the biggest of blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ability to speak, the ability to communicate with one another. That is the